When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for choosing to listen to our Black & Rose podcast, Kidder Street Noise. Before we get into this week's episode, can I please ask you to like, follow or subscribe on whichever podcast provider you are listening to this episode on. It really helps the podcast and would mean a lot to both me and Lewis. If you want to get in touch with us or you want to be a guest on the podcast, then you can reach us on Twitter at KidderSTNoise. Feel free to DM us on there or reply to any of our tweets or your questions and we will get back to you. Again, thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. Now let's crack on with this week's episode.
Yes, we are back with another episode of Kidder Street Noise. I am joined, as always, by my brother, Lewis Hayne. How are you? All right?
Yeah, good. How are you, Rob?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. The weather's looking a bit gloomy. This morning woke up, was quite nice. I was in London for the last 2 days for work, so I was hoping today would be a nice day, but it's just gone dark and dreary all of a sudden.
A bit like rover season.
Yeah, well, it just changes, doesn't it, from like one day to the next. So started last week on quite a positive spin, really. Went to Blackpool, didn't we?
It feels like a long time ago now, but very good night.
Yeah, it was a good night. Got the train over to Blackpool, couple of drinks around Blackpool, and then obviously watched us beat them 1-0. At the time, like on the train, it was positive, weren't it? Everyone was buzzing.
Yeah. I think that's the thing with local derby, and everyone's up for it regardless of your form in the league. The atmosphere was good. I mean, the atmosphere, like, you know, it carried over into the stadium as well. Like, I think the only disappointing thing was like the two sections. So it's like one section would start one chant,
that's one problem. Like when away ends are so spread out, like if you're all together behind the goal, the atmosphere is always a lot better than if like spread out along the side. I think there were a couple of games in League One where we were like spread out across the main stand rather than behind the goals, and I think Rochdale away were one where we were like a really long side of it rather than
Was Rochdale or it were Bury where it was like the
both ends behind the goal. So it always is difficult to build an atmosphere. I mean, Bloomfield Road's just an absolute joke. I mean, so we had like turnstile tickets, didn't we? Like the So I was 18 to 21, you were in 22 to 25, weren't we? So we're in separate queues. So you couldn't queue up in any section. You had to search your ticket and wait. Yeah. The queues were massive. Finally got to the front and the stewards were like dressing us down to search. It was like, I'm going to the football. I'm sick of being treated like the scum of the earth wanting to go to the football. Like people like,
and search dogs as well, you know, just in case the stupid search weren't enough.
It was just ridiculous. And then we finally got into the ground, the concourse. Well, I won't say it's not a concourse, is it? It's just a bit like separated off from the stand. It's not really a concourse. I mean, there was a lot of trouble at half time. You were on the opposite side, so you didn't see, but where we were, the concourse was like separated from Blackpool's like smoking section outside by like a plank of wood, basically. So one bottle got chucked over.
Like a garden fence. I saw on the video, it's like, you know, like just a wooden fence, weren't it, separating?
Yeah. It was just like a bit of, I don't know, like, I'm going to say 2x4, but that's quite thick. Just a bit of plywood that like people walk across on like builders' yards and stuff. Yeah, bottles are going over. A road sign got thrown over. I don't know how anyone's like managed to pick that up and throw it over.
Who smuggled that in? Which stewards would he search? Everyone's moving into life.
It's like that. That's like their exit for the stands. I think they've obviously gone to the road and like found a road sign from somewhere and run back to throw it over.
It's like, find some heavy. Like, anything you can get your hands on.
Oh, what should I throw at Rovers fans? Oh, there's a no entry sign over there. Get that bunched over.
Sound.
That was. And then I queued up for like 20 minutes to get a drink at half time, and I got to the front and they were just like, oh, shut it bar now because of trouble. I was like, can I not even have a bottle of water? He was like, no. So yeah, that was a waste of time. But it was like a gap like 2 yards wide to get out of the concourse. So it's like there was all the people at half time, and people trying to get back out, and like a steward stood at either side of this garden fence size gap. And I said to the guy, I said, can you make this gap like just a little bit smaller? That'd be perfect. And he just didn't take me on at all.
Well, he probably hears it every week, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's just daft, isn't it? You think like the amount of trouble we've had like with stuff like that in football over the years, you'd think they'd realise that like better things need to happen and better procedures need to be put in place and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, focusing on the game, it was a good game, wasn't it? Well,
solid performance. I mean, the only disappointing thing was that we didn't had a few more goals in the second half of the chances we had.
Yeah.
The keeper made a couple of decent saves, didn't he, from Vale and
Diaz. Yeah, the save from Vale stands out, doesn't it?
And Dak on the rebound, you know, you think to yourself, like, if that was Dak before those two injuries, he's putting that away.
I couldn't really see that. It was like right in line with one of the poles that was holding the stand up. So I said to like people, like, did he hit the post? Did it, like, what happened?
Yeah,
he dragged it all the way across goal.
Yeah, he dragged it across the face and went out for a goal kick.
And then there was one where Diaz bent it like just past the post, and that I was right in line with that, and I thought it was curling in. But I think on another night we could have been 3 or 4 goals up by the time the pressure got put on for the last 5-10 minutes. I think you managed to get across for like the last 10 minutes, and when they won that free kick in front of their fans at the end,
that was the only spell in the game where you were worrying. They didn't really offer anything else, did they?
I mean, they had a penalty shout in the first half, didn't they, Diaz brought down the left back. Is it Thompson? The left
I think
back.
So,
But yeah, it would have been soft. And
Rovers could have had a penalty of their own, Vale.
Yeah.
it's quite funny because we were at the end of the section, and we were right next to like, the Sky commentators, and obviously they have like the screen showing the replays. Everyone's like rushing over to that scene again.
Contact.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a penalty in real time, and I saw the replay. I was like,
I mean, I was at the opposite side of the stand, so it was too far away for me to see. But I was literally like, in that position, why would you go down unless you've been fouled? Like, it was 3-1 on one, probably 8 yards out. There's no reason for him to go down unless he's been made contact with. But yeah, the refs not giving it for some reason. But luckily, we've held on for the win. I think when Pereira took Pickering on and won the free kick, you just think like it's just it's typical Rovers, really. Like, most years, like, you just think like gets to the last minute, an ex player does something, you think, oh my god.
Well, they almost had like they were like two identical headers that went over the bar, pretty much, weren't it?
Didn't they?
Heart in mouth.
But yeah, everyone was speaking after the game about Adam Wharton, weren't they? He had a good performance, didn't he?
Outstanding, weren't he? Like, I don't think there's any way of overstating how good he were. Brilliant.
Played really well. I think Sky were buzzing with him, weren't they? I think they put the stats up saying that first in touches, first in chances created. Yeah. I think I know Dak got the assist for Diaz's goal, and it was a hell of a pass from Dak, but that flick down the corner from Wharton, like, sets it up. It's almost like a half assist, really, isn't it? It's not you're not the pass before the goal, but that pass is the reason that the chance has been created. But yeah, like, for an 18-year-old to come on and dominate midfield like that, and I mean, it's not an easy pitch to play on, usually Bloomfield Road as well, because it's not the finest of surfaces to play on. So, but yeah, looks confident on the ball and quite tall. But yeah, a really good performance. And then it was deadline day after that, wasn't it? So that all everyone was speaking about was
Diaz, really, wasn't it? Whether it was going to go or stay, but in the end, he stayed. I was always pretty, like, after he was in the team for Blackpool, I was pretty confident that he'd stay. I think, like, normally when you see moves like that, it's always like the classic, or he misses out with a tight calf or whatever.
Yeah, doesn't join us on the trip.
Yeah. So yeah, I was always confident they would stay. I mean, when you've got Fulham offering $6 million, I know he's out of contract, you know, next summer, but
it's an insult, really.
It is $6 million.
But I think just by the way he played against Blackpool, you could see that he wasn't going. Obviously took his goal really well. The passion in his celebration and stuff. Just I do think he really enjoys it here, and I know.
Yeah,
his first 2 years were quite tough, But yeah, it's just, I don't think he will sign a new contract. He probably will leave in January for a reduced fee or for a free in the summer. But if you're Rovers, you're going to be throwing everything at him.
I think that's maybe one of the reasons why he's enjoying it so much, like, because of how hard it were at first. I remember we're at the cup game at Birmingham.
The FA Cup game, lost 1-0.
An absolute stinker, didn't he? And
he was quite upset that day when he went out brought off.
Yeah, and Rovers fans are booing him off, and that was probably his lowest point, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think that because obviously it was a January window then, it was the first round at Cup, weren't it? And I think people were saying, get rid of him now, it's almost...
Cut your losses,
it's never going to happen for him. I think if you told people then that he'd have got 22 goals last season and that'd be a key player for us this season, people would be batting off £50 million bids, they'd have just laughed.
And then he went into the 23s and he started scoring, and then, you know, a few goals in the COVID season were at 2021, and then obviously last season was finally his breakthrough season.
Yeah. Just think the confidence just like flying through him at the minute. Like, you'd never seen him cut inside and smash one from 30 yards and just miss the target in his first couple of seasons. It was always head down and just, I don't know, trying to just not make a mistake, really.
Trying to not lose the ball, weren't
it? Yeah. But I think because the focus was all on Wharton and Diaz on Wednesday night, when at Blackpool.
Yeah.
I think we forgot how well other people played. Carter and Hyam at centre-back. I thought they were class.
They looked solid, didn't they?
Making his debut.
Very tough game to make debut. And maybe being a local derby, live on Sky, a lot of pressure.
Especially against them two. Like, Yates is a good striker.
A lot of money as well.
Gary Medine as well, is just, we know what he's like, and he's just like super mutant up front, just throwing himself about. So it's probably not the easiest game to come in.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, they both had a good game. I thought Travis did well at right back as well.
Yeah.
I know he swapped with Morton for a couple of minutes, but yeah, he dealt with the overlapping runs from the left back. And I think when you saw how quick the left midfielder was when he opened his legs, very good. Travis to keep him quiet for the majority of the game and didn't really create any chances down that side, really, did they?
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, after transfer deadline day were finished, we had Bristol City to look forward to on the Saturday. A tough game. Not the greatest of performances. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for Rovers fans, that like, we don't really put in bad performances at home. And we haven't done since Thomason's come in, so it's a bit strange to see us putting such a, like, we've seen how fast the football has been under Thomason so far. I think it was just the complete opposite on Saturday, with whether it's like a lack of fitness or too many games in such a short space of time, like the changes he's been forced to make around the field. So yeah, it was a disappointing day on Saturday.
Yeah, I think like with some of the young players as well, I think the inconsistency is like to be expected. And to me, like, the midfield just never seemed right. You know, with Travis at right back, it just felt like that kind of game, especially when you look at the experience of the Bristol City midfield, Vyman and who else was in there?
Yeah, so Andreas Vyman more or less controlled the game, didn't he? He dropped off from the strikers and just made them runs from deep, and it just seemed like every pass forward was going through him. And I was looking at, like, the appearances they've made, and him and Naki Wells have made 583 championship appearances. Yeah. So not even like professional appearances, like it's just in the championship. It's
ridiculous numbers, isn't it?
That's probably more than our team put together. Yeah. Well, it's probably more than the majority of the first 11 that played on Saturday, definitely. They're quite well organised. Nigel Pearson's a good manager, and he's got teams promoted by being organised and well drilled, and he's got obviously the young players that Alex Scott, who played for him, was, I think he's only like 18, 19, same as Wharton, and he was unbelievable. But he's also got that blend of experience as well that we probably miss out on. Because they bought Naismith from Luton in over the summer, didn't they? And he's like centre back, class on the ball, taking every set piece, which is obviously strange for a centre back, especially someone.
Shades of Charlie Mulgrew.
But yeah, Wan was brilliant, that pacing behind. I think he created the first goal, didn't he? And then I think he played the pass for the second goal as well, through to Wells.
Yeah.
And we were just caught on the counter-attack, really, for that goal.
Wells got some mistake, didn't he, with being an ex-Dingle, but I thought he took the second goal really well, I thought, and he cut inside and then tucked it inside the left-hand post. And
I think it was really a nice finish, that. A good finish. I mean, Carter, you probably look back at it and think probably could have showed him outside onto his weaker left foot. And I think looking back at the highlights, Kaminsky's positioning probably could have been better. Mm. But I think he's gone to his own left thinking that Naki Wells is going to try and curl it far post.
Cross goal, yeah.
But he's obviously whipped it near post and caught him on the wrong side of his balance, and it's obviously snuck into the bottom corner. And then the third goal, I couldn't even tell what happened. I thought, Diaz or Naismith like flicked it onto the post, it comes back out.
I think
out.
So, yeah. Such like it just felt like a low blow, didn't it? After getting
got a goal back, and then
getting a goal back, you know. Yeah. Feel like we're getting back into the game, and then you know they go and restore the two goal advantage. So
And then Diaz gets another one back later on, and I think you can take positives from it because we haven't really created chances like that in the other games we've played.
I think you've got to look at Dolan's cameo goal and assist. He's come under criticism for, you know, having no real end product and, you know, trying to overthink it and just get the ball and just do about a million step overs. There was none of that on Saturday. You know, right to the point, decent finish, and obviously set up the goal for Diaz as well. So that was positive.
I think that's where the frustration comes from. Like, you can see that he has got the ability, and like his first goal, his first touch takes him from being the wrong side of two defenders to being 3-1-on-1. That's what you want more of. You don't want the fancy flicks, you don't want the little spin, you just want him to be direct. And it was a good finish as well to lift it over the keeper. And again, with the Diaz goal, he's cut inside and played a clinical pass. He's not tried to do another step over and take someone else on. He's played it through straight away, got his head up. So hopefully he can carry on in that form and create some more chances and get some more goals. But there were a lot of negative reactions, really, weren't they, after Saturday?
I must admit, I weren't really too disappointed. I think it's like, maybe it's just that thing of like getting a bit older and growing up a bit, but you kind of accept it a bit more. But I weren't that disappointed. I was a bit more accepting of it, to be honest.
Well, I think when you look at like Bristol City's results this season, I think they obviously lost the one early on in the season against Hull, where they had the penalty where the guy got fouled, then took three more steps and went down that Pearson was fuming at. But since then, they've put on a really good run, and they're obviously up there at the top of the table for a reason, that they are a good team, and we saw how dangerous they could be on the counter attack.
Yeah.
And scoring a lot of goals and not conceding that many. So they are going to do well this season. I think people need to realise that the teams up there this year aren't going to be the teams that you're used to seeing. There's going to be some shocks, and there were that many managerial changes. And I think if you look at the table now, you probably wouldn't have picked three or four of them teams that are in the top 10.
I think you've just got to kind of react to each game on its merits almost, and just kind of ignore like your preconceptions of how each team, you know, is going to set up and how each team is going to perform, and kind of take as it comes, kind of thing.
Because like if you look at the disappointing results we've had this season, obviously losing Sheffield United away, they're going to win the majority of the home games this year. Reading away, we're disappointed with that, but they're flying at the minute, they're doing quite well. They've lost to Bristol City, they're doing well. Who was the other loss to?
Stoke, weren't it?
Stoke, they're not doing that great, but that's just a blip. It's the reaction was frustrating, but I don't know, I think people need to be just a bit more.
I almost think it was a bit over the top, to be honest. I saw Rovers fans on like Twitter and like in the Rovers group on Facebook saying it was that ridiculous, it was shocking. I've seen a lot worse.
You just joined the Rovers Facebook group, haven't you?
Yeah, recently, yeah.
So like some of the opinions you've seen on there probably aren't even the worst on there, but
it's outrageous. I saw someone on Saturday night, someone comparing Travis and Buckley to Murphy and Atubu. That's like That's how many pints has he had?
That's a lifetime ban for me, definitely.
He's had
12 cans of Stella at living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Wife's gone upstairs and left him. He's absolutely fuming.
That's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like one you look at and you think, is he a Burnley fan at Wind Up?
No. You do get a lot of them posts on there where you do think, yeah, it must be a dingle on the Wind Up, but no, the majority of them are just frustrated, pissed up Rovers fans. Really.
And then quite a common one at the minute is Daki's finished and all that. you look at the ball he played for you to Diaz at Blackpool. Shit now.
But like he played like a false nine, didn't he, really, on Saturday, and then every like long ball Kaminski put up to him, he did quite well. He competed, got his body in and brought it down. I think teams are starting to like figure out that if you press us from the front and we can't play it short, you're probably going to get the ball back most of the time. That's the problem with having like Diaz and Dolan on the wings that aren't that good in the air. Like if you kick it out wide to one of them, you're probably just giving it straight back to one of their fullbacks.
I thought he put another good shift on Saturday. I think the only thing you can probably criticise him for was that he should have scored, you know, early on when Hurst laid it off to him at your box, didn't he?
I
thought, like, again, I saw him being criticised quite a bit after the game, but I thought he had a decent debut.
When his number went up to be substituted off, I was quite surprised because he was probably the one creating most of the chances, making the runs into channels, and we've not seen a striker for years that will make that run and get on the end of it and battle with.
It's like his movement was good, and like the cross he put in for Diaz, like just before, or well, it should have been for Diaz if Diaz's movement was better.
Yeah,
just before he was taken off. You know, if Diaz is gambling from post.
Well, he's out wide at the riverside, and he's crossed it in. I know it's like a low cross, so probably should have lifted it, but. Like if he's at the riverside, from the winger on the other side should be getting in and like tucking into the penalty spot area. So if that ball does come back, you're there. Like there's no point standing out wide for a cross.
Standing out on the left.
Because even if it does come over that far, you're not going to do anything from that angle. You need to be in the middle of the net. But yeah, I think whether he's not fully fit, I thought his performance was quite good. A lot of people were saying. He's only scored like 15 goals in League One with Pompey last year. That's a good return for any striker, 15 goals at any level. He looks like he can do it. He's a big, strong lad. He's a lot taller than I thought he was. It's just getting that first goal, isn't it?
Yeah. With some reveal, aren't we? I mean, I thought he should have scored on Saturday with that chance he had. What was that? It was whilst it was still 3-1, wasn't it? Before Diaz, a chance falls to him in. About penny spot, weren't it?
Is this the one where Dolan, where it's saved from Dolan's shot and rebounds to one of them?
I think so, yeah. But I can just remember like unleashing absolute P roll.
He should have scored on Blackpool, against Blackpool on Wednesday as well. The one that the keeper saved. Realistically, at this level, you need to be scoring chances like that.
I thought that was a good save, but
it was a good save.
Perspectives, weren't we? So,
yeah. Moving on from Saturday's defeat, we've got Wigan coming up this Saturday. Are you going?
I'm not going, no.
I'm not going either. I think I've been to Wigan that many times and
trying to rein in the spending a little bit.
we never seem to get a result there. I can't remember the last time I've seen us win there. I don't think I've ever seen us win there. I'm not going to probably watch it. Or listen to it somewhere else. And how do you think he'll line up for the Wigan game? Think he'll stick with the same team?
I think he will. Yeah. I mean, how long's Britain off coming back? What's the situation there?
I mean, we've not heard anything from the club really. Have we? Just like people seeing rumours.
So you don't know,
do
you? I mean, maybe if like who knows whether he'll be fit. If he is fit, you'd obviously like to see him come back in and Travis move back into midfield.
Yeah.
You know that's the one that's crying out, isn't it? Because Travis needs to be in there for me.
I think people are slating him for high play, but you can't really slate someone who's been played out of position. It's not his natural position. He's always going to look inside because that's his where he's naturally is used to being in the middle. He's not used to being at full back. I don't think Britain will be back could you play Carter at right back and play either of your
I mean, a lot of people were saying around us on Saturday, like, why don't you just move Carter over and bring Phillips in at centre back?
Yeah.
So that could be a change if Thomason isn't happy with Travis at right back.
Yeah. And then I heard you drop from midfield, Travis. I mean, I think Wharton, obviously, he played really well against Blackpool. Wasn't really that instrumental in the Bristol game, but he got booked early on, didn't he, for which I thought were quite a harsh decision. It was just a late tackle, his first tackle. It was a foul, but
I think he went under the radar there. Like, he got booked, didn't he? And like, because it was like quite a bit after the tackle, and everyone was like, "What's that for?"
Yeah, but there was one where like the ball came across to the left side and he slid in early for it. I think everyone at Blackburn were like, "Oh my god!"
He executed it perfectly, didn't he?
Yeah. Please win the ball. Please win the ball. Otherwise, that's when I'm like, if you don't win the ball, you're off, aren't you?
So, yeah.
Yeah, but just looking at Wigan's results, they obviously beat Luton away 2-1. Luton have had a shocking start, haven't they?
Yeah.
Can't get over that. Like, considering how good they were last year.
Hangover from last year.
Yeah. And I know Naismith played against us on Saturday, lost him. And I didn't think he was that key of a player for them that they'd go on this poor run at the start of this season. Drew 1-1 with West Brom, and that was after the 5-1 demolition of them lot down the road. Beat Birmingham away, drew with Bristol City. So yeah, they've had like a probably, I mean, they'd probably be happy with that return coming up from League One.
I think so, yeah. A bit inconsistent start, but you know, I think it's 10 points they've got from the first 7.
Yeah.
Or was it first 8 now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it feels like Rose had a much better start than them because we won our first 3, but at the same time, they're only 2 points behind us.
Yeah.
So, you can't really slag them off too much for their start.
They've just had a lot more draws than us, haven't we? We've not had a single draw yet.
So, 0-0 on Saturday then.
It's just weird, isn't it? Like, if you turn just a couple of them losses into draws, it looks like a superb start to the season.
That's just the way the championship is, though, isn't it? That's the way it's always been so tight and competitive.
Yeah, and like we said, with the consistency, like, because we've got that many young players, I think we're the second lowest average age in terms of squads, and that's even with players like Dakana Yala. And Kaminsky's like 29 now, so like it just shows how young the rest of the squad are. I think Swansea were the youngest. But yeah, after Wigan away, we've got Watford at home, the midweek game. Are we on Sky?
I don't think it's like, well, I think it'd be on Red Button, but I don't think it's like the featured game.
We're
on Sky quite a few times next month. I think we're on Sky twice at home. We got, I know Sunderland games on Sky. Not twice at home, sorry, twice in the month. It's Cardiff away is the first one. We're on Sky for that, and then it's Sunderland at home after Borough away on Saturday. We're on Sky for that as well, because I think that's Sky going for the whole Mulberry's return to England.
Mulberry's return
should be interesting.
will it if he doubles this water, probably knowing him. I mean, they had a poor result the weekend, didn't they, Sunderland? And then they've got today, it got announced that the striker Stewart's out for like 12 weeks or something. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough start for Morby, really. So, yeah, the Watford game, I mean, they're only a point above us, which you wouldn't have expected with the squad they've got after they came down. Drew Rotherham away at the weekend. Beat Middlesbrough 2-1 at home, lost to QPR, a few draws. Every time you look at like a team's result, there's always a draw in there with Preston. No, with Preston. It's always there.
So it's going to be a thing of like in a few weeks, it's like, what score are they playing? Preston? Oh, no. Don't need to look. No.
Honestly, 1 week, Preston are going to like, get beat like 7-6 or something like that. What's going on there? Yeah, just looking at like the rest of the results from the weekend. Did you watch the Burnley game Friday night?
I didn't know how to work. It was so funny at work. Like I was at the flash score, like, notifications on. I was checking phone now and again. And it said like 1-1, 90 plus 8, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Delta.
Yeah. Especially live on Sky. I mean, they're on Sky every week, aren't they? Friday night TV.
Yeah.
Sky Sports Vincent Company channel.
I follow a few like Burnley fans through like my uni course and whatever, or like just see it on Twitter, don't you? It's like, oh, Friday night clarets and all. Getting the bin, mate.
And then Blackpool beat Huddersfield 1-0. Just get Huddersfield down now. Just give everyone who's playing Huddersfield 3 points and just leave them to it. Like, get them ready for next season. Don't bother.
Rob's agenda against Huddersfield carries on.
What is the point? I listened to the Championship Chat podcast with Elliot Jackson. And they were saying on the... I think the guy who does the podcast with him was saying that Huddersfield are going to win this weekend. And I was just like... They said something like, oh, I've seen improvements in the way they're playing at the minute under the new manager. I was just like, yeah, no, but I mean you're improving.
Scores,
aren't
you?
You're improving from Nafol, so yeah. You're seeing improvements, aren't you? Sheffield United beat Hull 2-0 away. Reading beat Stoke 2-1. I mean, Alex Neil. Obviously, we spoke about him leaving Sunderland to go to Stoke. We didn't understand it then, but it's just a poison chalice. I don't understand why he's chosen to go, because I don't know how. The only way you can succeed at Stoke with the expectation is to get in the playoffs or get promoted, and I don't think the squad's good enough to do that.
No.
I think they can compete for that, but I think even if you compete for the playoffs and finish 7th or 8th, I still don't think they'll think that's good enough. I mean, he's got his work cut out there already. I think we already spoke about Wigan beating Luton 2-1, Millwall 2 Cardiff 0. Millwall had a tidy start to the season. Norwich 3 Coventry 0. Norwich on fire at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah,
5 wins in a row.
Dodgy start, didn't they? But something's obviously clicked, and yeah, like I said, on fire, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I know. Like, it's too early to call the that league already, but I think if you look at Norwich and Sheffield United, they're going to be your favourites.
I think
to
so. Yeah,
get automatic promotions already. And Preston got beat 1-0 off Birmingham. Still just can't score. Who's he got up front now, Preston? They had that Reese, didn't they, for a bit?
Yeah. I was trying to remember his name then. Like, what's he called? Emil Reese.
Is that Barkhausen still there?
I'm not sure. But yeah. It must be like so frustrating for season to get older. Mm-hmm. I imagine going to like...
We've got a few of them this year as well.
Yeah.
For a change.
Yeah. They've had quite a few home games. They have 5 home games out of 8.
Yeah.
So, it's 5 home games, and is it one goal they've scored at home?
They've scored any at home. They've scored one away, haven't they?
Well, they've scored 2 goals and all that. So, I think they've scored one at home, one away. Or did they win 2-1 at Luton?
No, they won 1-0 at Luton.
That
acrobatic kick, weren't it? Yeah. I don't think they scored more than one all season.
That's tough.
Well, they can't have, because they'd only beat Luton 1-0 and they've only scored another one, so they can't score one. Rotherham 1-1 with Watford. Probably the shock result of the weekend, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Good point for Rotherham.
Yeah. I think they'll do all right, Rotherham. I think if you look at the 3 promoted teams, they'll probably finish the highest out of the 3. They're in my pick anyway.
Yeah.
Swansea 1, QPR 0. QPR is probably the most inconsistent. I know we've been inconsistent this
season. 4 wins, 4 losses.
Yeah, but QPR are just like, they can go and beat Sheffield United 1 week and then get beat off one of the bottom teams a week after. It just doesn't make sense. At least with some of our defeats, it actually makes sense the teams getting beat off. But QPR just can't back 1 week or the other.
If the Championship was a team.
Basically, they're some of the Championship. It's been the Championship's logo. So yeah, last week we spoke about my top 5 or my goals seen live.
I'm looking forward to this.
So Lewis has prepared his top 5 this week. We'll do a new section next week. We'll think of a topic to do, but I'll let you take it away.
So I was thinking about the other night. It took me ages, actually. I'm just like, the amount of like highlights video, what do you think of that? I was like, I was thinking like, as well, oh, I have to have a Rhodes goal in there. But then again, you look through Rose's goals and it's like Moss and score inside the box, weren't they?
Yeah.
There's only like two I could think of, and one of them I put in me like honourable mentions. And it's like the one I put in my honourable mentions was the diving header at Burnley.
Yeah.
And the other one was the like the flick, like kind of chip he scored against Crystal Palace at home. Might have to look at the highlights for that, but it's like last home game in the 12-13 season.
What, and he actually chipped the keeper?
Yeah, I flicked it over the keeper's head in front of the door end.
I don't remember that.
That was one of my favourites from Rolls. But
one of my favourite Rolls ones was it the one against Bolton at Hull?
Last minute.
No, I think it was the game had beaten 4-1, but Dunn scored like a solo effort, but Rolls, it like bounced off someone and like slotted into the bottom.
Yeah, he got a sweet into the bottom left, didn't he? Yeah. I watched that one when I was researching goal compilation.
there's actually a YouTube channel on at the minute that's just come up. It's like it only came up like 8-9 months ago. But he has uploaded, I think it's like every season review of Rovers, like not a DVD. Let me find out.
I've still got like the DVDs I've got.
So he's called Rick Lewis on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I watched the 2006-2007 season review, and I watched the 2007-2008 one.
I think at home we've got 5-6, 0-9-10, and 10-11.
10-11, that was a stinking one.
I've no idea why.
Was that one we stayed up against Wolves?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's got like an extended highlight special of like the
how long was it? Survivor Sunday. DVD was like 49 minutes long. Alright, so go on. I'll let you crack on with your five goals.
I'm going from like earliest to most recent.
Well, so you're not doing 1-5, you're just doing like.
No, that because honestly, if I was
can't put an order on.
If I was to decide on that, I'd be here for ages. Right, so the first one is Craig Conway on to Rotherham in February 2015.
Is that where he cuts inside from Riverside and bends it in top bit? Yeah, that was a good goal, to be fair.
I really like that one. Second one, I feel like this will be a pretty common one for Rovers fans around my age. Danny Graham on to United in the cup.
Yeah, that was a good goal, to be fair.
Absolute scenes in the Blackburn end as well. you could just see like all the United fans as well. They're just like sort of clapping, and we're all going like absolutely bananas.
Absolutely, man. I think Mourinho was manager at the time, weren't he? And, like when I watched, because was it on BT Sport?
Yeah, whatever.
We recorded it and watched it back after. Like you see, like Mourinho clapping the goal afterwards and stuff. That was the Kyle as well.
Coyle's last game, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, he got sacked in the midweek after, and then Mowbray took over Burton.
At Burton on the Friday, yeah. We were full of optimism that night.
1-1 draw, weren't
it? Yeah, I think Mulgrew scored direct from a corner, and then, what's it called? He scored for Burnley.
Might have been an own goal. I think Mulgrew put the corner in, it might be an own goal or something.
It was opposite end to us, we couldn't see it. We were right before our time, I remember that, because Kelso and Torben had gone down for half time drinks and I stayed up to watch it. We stayed in Derby that night. So, this is a funny story, this, right? So, Kelso drove.
It's going to take his ages to get through top five here. Yeah.
So, Kelso drove down to Derby, where we were staying, which was like 10 minutes taxi from Burton. In the back of the car, Torbin's arguing with his girlfriend. They end up like breaking up, and then he's like, "Oh, I fancy a few drinks." So me and Torbin are drinking in the car. Kelsey goes, "Oh, I fancy a few beers now." I said, "Oh, well, should we look at booking a hotel?" So I had a quick look online, and like an Ibis budget hotel for like £28 or something like that. So we booked it. We're out in Derby. This hotel room, we're absolutely minging it with like a double bed at the bottom and a single bunk bed on top. No windows, no bathroom. But yeah, it was a good night that. Yeah, anyway,
back on topic. Third is Dak second at home to Peterborough in the 3-1.
But he slots it bottom bit.
Yeah.
Really had a good atmosphere that night as well.
Yeah, to say there was only like 11,000 on, felt like there was a lot more on, and I think that win was like the moment we knew we were definitely going up.
Yeah,
really enjoyed that one. Fourth, I think it's one goal of the season for 18-19, Roth all the way at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, that was a peach. We went to that together, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was a peach, that goal. Meant absolutely nothing.
No, it didn't, because
we celebrated like a last minute World Cup winner.
15th, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then fifth, most recent one, is John Buckley away at Birmingham.
Yeah, I didn't go to that game, but I can imagine that.
Absolute rocket. And I think, like, when me and my mates were still, we were like at a perfect like high in the stand, just like see
it rocketed.
Yeah. It was one of them, as soon as it left his boot, you're like, yeah, stand. yeah, brilliant goal. And other two honourable mentions. Jordi Gomez's free kick against MK Dons. What are you laughing at, you?
A goal against we're not like an equaliser, we're a winner anymore.
Yeah, last minute winner
against MK Dons.
It was a good goal.
Yeah, it was a good goal, to be fair. Bad goalkeeping, but it was a good goal.
What do you mean, bad goalkeeping?
I thought you were going to say like Marvin Emnes versus
Wigan. Oh, no, I was never touching that. Marvin Emnes gets way too much love for that. Yeah. For what he did that season. He scored like one goal in 38 games. If that goal against Wigan or something.
Yeah, one goal, one assist.
That was shocking goalkeeping, that. Terrible. The only good thing about that goal was his first touch.
Yeah, where it was Steele trying yeah. to kick it out again, weren't it?
Yeah.
Well, I've never brought it down.
Steele good, it's not going for throwing, man. Dale, it's my job though. And then Adam Armstrong at home to Hull in February 2019.
Was that the screaming to the top right?
Yeah, top left,
yeah. Yeah, cross goal. So he scored like a few screamers like in a couple of weeks, and so he had that one that went directly across goal, which is the one you're on about. And then he had one where it went like bent out the way into the top.
Yeah.
Right, if he's looking at it.
I wanted Armstrong goal because obviously he scored so many screamers, but a lot of them were during like COVID.
Yeah.
So it was between them two, and I went for the whole one.
Yeah. Yeah. Some good goals in there. Some good goals.
The thing is, though, like, you've got to remember the football I've seen Rovers play has been completely different to what.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good list for what I've seen.
All the games. That you've seen like growing up, they aren't memorable games, like, because obviously there's nothing.
No, it's not a lot of standouts, to be honest.
Yeah, you're not going to remember like Chef Wednesday away, like, it just doesn't mean anything.
No.
Whereas, like, I think back to like big FA Cup, like, I think about like Benny McCarthy's goal against Arsenal and stuff, like, they were big nights for us, they weren't like.
Yeah. Was that in your top five? Didn't you have that in?
No, I didn't have it in, but thinking about it, it was a world. I didn't have my top five. I want to rewind myself for it, actually. I do have Bentley versus Salzburg, obviously a massive game. And Zonzi versus Everton, that's probably the game where it wasn't a massive deal.
Mm.
Pedersen versus Berlin, FA Cup, obviously a big game, big goal. Benny McCarthy versus Liverpool. You remember, like, you're in the Premier League seasons, it was always like, you remember your Liverpool United, your Arsenals at home.
Yeah. Had done his last minute equaliser, kind of, but I feel like it's a bit too hard. It's like the Wonderwall of Rovers goals.
It's like I didn't want to put any two guy goals in, because like when you talk about that, like, screamers, everyone like puts two guy in, don't they? So yeah, I probably could have put Benny McCarthy's goal against Arsenal.
Yeah,
sorry, Benny. So yeah, what else happened in the world of football? Well, what didn't happen in the world of football this weekend?
Chaotic weekend, weren't it, with VAR?
Yes.
Causing a lot of controversy.
So,
again,
my opinion is either get rid of it completely or let the players decide. Don't let the referee decide. Don't let someone in Stop the Park decide. If the players want to appeal a goal,
transform it into a decision review system like it is in cricket and it's rugby as well. They use it like
tennis,
yeah.
So, I think. Out of probably the 6-7 goals, I don't think any of them would have been appealed. Probably the Martinelli goal might have been appealed by United at the time. So if each team had one appeal a half, and obviously if you get the decision right, you keep your appeal, I think that would be a lot better for the game, because at the minute, the players don't know what's going on, the crowd don't know what's going on, there's just one guy talking to the referee's ear saying, I think that's a foul. Well, yeah, you would say that because you've got 42 angles of it, like watching slow motion. So, and I think as soon as the referee goes over with someone in his ear telling him, I think you got it wrong, you know straight away he's going to turn his decision over. Mm. Whether he watches it 100 times or not, he's just going to always agree with the guy in Stockley Park. So I made some notes of some of the like decisions that we saw over the weekend. Obviously the Martinelli goal, looking at it, it is a foul, but Eriksen's dilly-dallied on the ball for way too long.
Like, of all the incidents like that have happened this weekend with VAR, that is the one for me that shouldn't be included in this whole like agenda against VAR, because I actually thought it was a foul.
Yeah, they'd probably get it right.
The goal shouldn't have stood.
Yeah, but yeah. I think if you're the referee there, you've seen Eriksen dally on the ball, you've seen Odegaard's got made contact with him, it's not enough for him to go down. He just took way too long on the ball. He's like took the ball off him, played it through, it's a goal, it's back at net. He's starting to like spoil big games because big moments are being ruined by a free kick that was
I can understand that argument, because obviously if like that goal stands, like that game's completely different.
Yeah, like the Brighton game, so you had McAllister goal, which is probably goal of the season, maybe even goal of the decade.
Did you see McAllister's free kick?
Yeah, some good free kicks though. See Ivan Toney's free kick for Brentford.
No, I didn't see that. Oh, no.
That is an absolute pity. He got a hat trick the weekend, didn't he? So
yeah,
good for the fantasy team anyway. But yeah, so McAllister's goal, free kick comes in, someone attempts an overhead kick, one of the Leicester defenders clears it out to the edge of the box, McAllister hits it first time 30 yards out, and it's a bit like Stephen Reid's goal against Wigan, it's straight into the top bin.
Yeah.
So not a single Leicester defender appeals for offside, not a single one. No one's complaining to the ref, everyone's waiting for kickoff. All of a sudden VAR have watched it, and the guy who attempted an overhead kick and missed the ball completely was a midgie's dick offside. I don't understand it. If you allow that goal, it makes no difference whatsoever. No one would have felt like they've been cheated. It's not like VAR was brought in for clear and obvious errors. It's not, let's just check if his toenail's offside, because if it is, we're going to stop this goal from being counted. It just doesn't make sense at all. The Conor Cody goal against Liverpool for Everton, the one that was disallowed, he was rightfully offside. But the amount of time it takes to find out whether it's offside or not, you've killed all the atmosphere in the game. You took everything. Mm-hmm. It was a massive moment in a big game where if it's offside or not, if the linesman doesn't think it's offside, get on with it, and Liverpool react to it. But if you're waiting 2 minutes to find out a decision, not only does it kill all Everton's momentum, but all the Liverpool momentum that's been built up to try and get back into the game has also been killed. It's just like,
what did you see in the Champions League games last night? Oh, they've got this new technology now, and it's actually like in line with the players. You see that when you use it in the Premier League on Sky, and like the camera's like never actually in line with the players, so it's like it's a matter of perspective.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't actually, unless you go about the lines on the pitch, but even then you can never actually
With the camera angle,
accurately tell.
Yeah, the lines are never really straight, are they, with the camera angle?
No.
I think the one we saw in the Champions League last night is obviously a lot better, like getting an instant decision. Yeah. The problem for me is if it doesn't work at every ground, or if it doesn't work, there's always a chance that technology might go wrong at some point. But there was another incident in the Liverpool game where Virgil van Dijk went over the top of the ball and hit someone like shin height. I don't think it got checked. I think it got booked for it. Everton fans must be like looking at that and saying, well, why is that not being checked? Like, where is the consistency like across the board? What other goals are ruled out? The Cormier goal, West Ham's equaliser against Chelsea in the last minute. Now, anyone who tells me that's a foul and that goal should have been disallowed just needs to get in the bin. Have you seen it?
I did see it, yeah. I didn't agree with it being ruled out.
And again, it's a massive moment, and the refs like wave play on, because he should wave play on. He's not fouled him. He's jumped over him. And
it's a really, really odd way for Mendy to go at that. I have no idea why he's gone in with his head there.
No.
But
the ball's already gone. It's not like was it Jared Bowen that jumps over him?
I think so. Yeah.
Whichever West Ham player it was who jumps over him. It's not like he's made Mendy drop the ball or release the ball to the edge of the box. Mendy's just done that, and then as he's jumped over him, he's caught him. He's made no influence on like the rest of the action. Ball's planted to Cormier, it's a good finish. And the way Anne's going mental. And again, like, there's probably only Mendy that's appealing for a free kick. There's no other Chelsea players. Chelsea players probably looking at it and thinking, you've just cost us 2 points, sir.
I thought it was strange for him to go on his head. Really, really, really strange.
And then what other two big moments were there? So this one, probably not VAR's fault because it's not VAR, it's Med's decision, but Coutinho's goal against Man City.
Yeah.
So we've all said, how many times do you see someone's 15 yards offside, the ball goes through to him, and the linesman waits till he touches the ball, raises his flag. Well, this time he's done the opposite. He's raised his flag straight away, ref blown his whistle, Coutinho's took a touch and smashed it top bin, that crossbar and in. And people said, yeah, City have stopped playing. You still don't know what could have happened. Like, if like Stones closes him down and might use Stones to block the view of the keeper to bend his shot round him, and it goes further into the top. You don't know. And I think,
it
comes down to consistency. Why are some referees letting it go until the play's over, and why are some referees raising the flag straight away?
Yeah. Well, to me, like, the referees should face consequences, but you know, that linesman in that situation, he's not following the letter of the law, you know, how it is now.
Yeah.
He should face consequences for that because he's completely changed the outcome of a game there.
Yeah. I think, like, if you look at the replay of it, it was that far onside. It's like a shocking result for him to put his flag up there.
Yeah.
But again, it's just frustrating. It's just the consistency of there'll be another. It's like I would say that if they're that obviously offside, the lad just should put it up straight away because someone is going to get hurt. Like, a striker's going to run through and a keeper's going to smash him.
Yeah.
And then the lad's going to put his flag up and the keeper gets away.
It's not as if it's a case of like a referee. Like, a referee's interpretation of whether something's a foul or not. It's literally just a case of following the letter of the law.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it says you should do this in this situation, leave the flag down and let play carry on, and VAR would have said it was offside, not just how hard can it be to follow it.
Yeah. And then the last one I put down was Newcastle's goal. So Newcastle Crystal Palace, I think it's Joe Willett for Newcastle, he gets pushed in the back by Tyreek Mitchell and because he gets pushed, he bounces into Crystal Palace's keeper. The ball then goes over both Willock and the keeper's head, hits Tyreek Mitchell and bounces into the empty net. Right, so this is where it gets confusing. So because it's a goal, VAR have checked for a foul on the goalkeeper. Right, so I looked at it and I said, well, in that VAR replay, surely you can see the push in the back on Willock, so surely it's a penalty. Right. VAR cannot check if it's a penalty because it's a goal. If it hits Tyreek Mitchell's head and goes out for a corner, VAR can check for a potential penalty because you're pushing the back.
Because surely the corner and the goal are both dead ball situations. Surely like they're both the same. Why should it matter?
Because obviously you can't have a goal and then a penalty. It has to be like the penalty is like. It's because it's now a corner, and that team get an advantage by getting a penalty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't score a goal and it gets brought back for VAR for penalty. So if a team scores a goal, you can't check if they've got a penalty or not because they scored a goal.
Yeah.
They're checking if that goal should be ruled out rather than like what else has happened. They've come out. I mean that PG. MOL, whatever they're called. I don't know what it stands for, like Power Rangers, whatever. like, whatever. They've come out and said, yeah, we got it wrong. But Newcastle aren't going to go down this year. Say if Newcastle are going for sixth spot to get in Europe and they miss out by a point. Like, you can look back at that and say, well, you cost us European football. And they said that the VAR was going to change that. VAR was going to make sure that didn't happen to certain teams. So... yeah, for me, just get rid of it, completely start again. It's like people said they wanted to get rid of the controversy around football. Well, this is just making it worse, worse.
But the thing is, I've always seen it from a point of view of why would you want to get rid of the obviously you don't want the wrong decisions to be made, but you want like the chat in like the pub after, like, you know, like the,
cause the debate,
yeah, the debate, and you know there could be like a big decision made by the referee at Rovers, and like, you know, we'll be in the pub afterwards, and there could be like four or five of us, and we'll all see it a different way.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so good, I think.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. But again, for me, it has to go.
Like kind of adjustment made to it to make it a review system, or
I'd make it a review system. Yeah. Put the captains in charge. So
the VAR, as it is now, has to go.
Yeah, and I don't understand players not appealing for anything, fans not knowing what's going on, and 2 minutes later someone says no goal. I'm just sick of that. I mean, it was used quite well in the Brentford and Leeds game. Brentford won a penalty from it, but then when Leeds got fouled in the box, they didn't even check VAR, then Leeds new manager got sent off for arguing about it, and when I look at the highlights, I thought it was a definite penalty. So it's just that consistency, and I think people are always going to say, oh yeah, the big teams that get like favoured by it and stuff like that, and
yeah,
there's always going to be that controversy around it. There's always going to be that scepticism around it because people genuinely believe that these big teams are getting the decisions for the wrong reasons, more or less. But yeah, that's enough about VAR. We've not got it, and hopefully we never do get it in the Championship. We could just do with some better referees before we get VAR.
That's a whole different long conversation.
That's another hour podcast to talk about. Coming to the end of this week's podcast, the starting 11.
So Wigan, what game did
We're supposed to have a guest on this week, but she was working till later, so she's coming on next week. So this is definitely the last start 11. And then we'll have a quiz next week, so that'll be better. So and the starting 11 for this week is the 1-0 win over Wigan in March 2017.
Right, okay, the game that Enes scored, the winner. I don't think it's fair to call any game the Marvin Enes game.
No.
That's stealing that.
Yep.
Derek Williams
is there.
Mulgrew
is there.
Lennon.
Bloody hell, flying. Get through this quick. Get to you.
Bennett. Through this quick, get to you.
Bennett's not there now.
Okay. Corey Evans.
Nope, not there.
Jason Law
is there.
Graham.
No, Graham is not there.
Injured, were
he? How'd you have that?
Were he injured? Did it say?
I don't say that. You got a right back, three midfield, and then one up front.
Mass.
There's someone in the 10 someone up front.
Conway's
there, yeah.
Danny Guthrie
is I was well excited when we signed Danny Guthrie because he always used to score worldies against us, and they were actually bobbins for us.
Did he only score that one goal away at Brentford,
I think, yeah, where it like hit off his chest and went in.
No, it didn't hit his chest, like there was like two deflections on its way in.
I always thought like someone like bundled it over the line at Brentford away.
Well, Mulgrew scored the free kick, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then
Conway scored a penalty.
Yeah. I always forget about it because like that's when we were like down regardless. I think we had to score like another six goals, didn't we? I only really remember the first two goals that day.
Who did Birmingham play that, like, Huddersfield, they already got in the playoffs, they just played a rubbish team. Was it someone else?
Oh, Bristol City were involved as well, weren't they? Who did Bristol City play?
Wait, might have been Brentford. I think there's a couple of teams that
we were playing Brentford.
Oh yeah, duh. the triple threat match at Griffin Park. No, I think a couple of teams that had already clinched promotion or clinched playoffs. They
it was Huddersfield, weren't it, that had clinched playoffs because they won the playoffs.
Yeah, he played like a weakened team, didn't he?
Yeah, but they played Birmingham, and someone else was playing Bristol City. Who else was that in the fight to go down? Oh, fight to stay up.
Can't remember. Can't remember.
And they're back to starting 11.
Yeah, back to starting 11. So you got a two on the right side, and then the one behind the striker, and then the striker.
Nyambi.
Yep.
So what I've got left now?
Right midfielder.
Mahoney.
Nope.
I thought it was a really good shot, but. One behind the striker. Pre-Dak.
We've just like mentioned him like loads.
Have we?
Talk about this game, yeah.
No, we haven't. What? Enes? Yeah. Well, why is he not playing up front?
Because he wasn't. He was playing in the 10. That's why he only got one goal that season. Mowbray ball.
A
striker and right midfielder. Got letters.
Go on.
So the right midfielder has 6 and the striker has 9.
But he has a striker. He scored that. Oh, Gallagher.
Yeah. So. You're going to say he scored a lot of goals and he did this season.
Yeah.
So there's 6.
6 on the right.
Yep. Wore the number 7 shirt. It's worrying. Worrying that he was given the number 7 shirt.
You play a lot of games?
No, I don't think so. Well, probably did actually, but he shouldn't have done.
Who signed him?
I think Gary Boy signed him, but yeah, so he played 84 games for us. Oh no, yeah. No, he never. Don't be daft, Rob. So he came on loan and played 6 games for us, and then we signed him permanently, and he played 35 games for us. He didn't score a goal.
Oh dear.
So he signed in June 2016, so yeah, it was Kyle, wasn't it? That year.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah. Got no idea who this could be. Honestly, no idea.
Signed him from Bolton Wanderers.
Six letters?
Yeah. And more clubs than Tiger Woods.
Absolute journey, that. No, I don't know.
Did you give up?
Yeah, who was it?
Liam Feeney.
Oh, come on, that shit. Bloody hell.
Should have got that.
No, sure.
How can I forget Liam Feeney? How can I believe forget him?
Oh, he won and he wants to forget him.
Yeah, definitely.
Did he not? He scored one goal for us, didn't he? Went QPR in the cup.
Oh, well, Wikipedia only counts league goals, doesn't it?
Absolute tapping.
well,
I think it were actually an open net.
Is it surprising it missed actually. Yep, that's starting 11 finished, and that brings us to the end of this podcast. So we've got Wigan on Saturday, we've got Watford on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So we'll probably record next Wednesday again.
Yeah, I think so. Now we're looking ahead to Luton.
Yeah, there's Luton away the Saturday after that.
Mm.
You going to that?
No.
So we'll catch you all next week. Thank you for listening. See you in a bit.